Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of two books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with us today. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Kirk Chaffetz is here, too. Kirk is an old friend of ours and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's an award-winning reporter. He's been a successful business person for a long time. And actually, and with regard to his reporting, he was actually a Pulitzer Prize finalist on some work that he did at the Detroit Free Press. And he is the author of a book I'm holding in my hand, which is one of my favorites, Thinking Inside the Box, The 12 Timeless Rules of Managing a Successful Business. This book came along at a time when we all needed to be reminded about what fundamental business operation is, and not some of the wacky stuff that people thought was going on in the 90s. And as I said, he's our good friend, Kirk Chaffetz. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim. Nice to be back.
It's good to have you back. And I do want to thank you. I know I've done it before, but I want to thank you for the book because we went through some pretty wacky stuff in the 90s. And some of it, we wound up with a residual of some good things, but there were a lot of things that we wanted to get rid of, like people trying to suspend the rules of economics and things like that. And you sort of brought us back with your book. You brought us back to reality, and I appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much. I'm not always sure I love reality as much as I ought to, Jim.
Well, I'll tell you, in the marketplace, it's the only place to live in the marketplace.
Well, that's both the good and the bad news, I guess.
If you want to go play the glad game with Pollyanna, that's okay. But don't do that in the marketplace, because what that's going to get you is surprises. And I always say that surprises are for birthdays, not for the marketplace.
That's a good saying. I think that the moment that I least enjoyed about the 90s actually occurred, I believe, in 2000, if I remember it correctly, when a leading business magazine ran an article entitled "Does Profit Really Matter?"
Oh yeah! Oh, unbelievable.
And the frightening part was they interviewed 50 leading lights of the new revolution in business, and roughly half of them said it didn't.
Unbelievable.
I don't think any of them are still in business. Actually,
I'm looking at a book that I like to quote, Kirk, that McKay wrote, Charles McKay wrote, in about 1848. And the title of the book is "Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds," and he talks about the Tulipomania and the South Sea Bubble and the Mississippi Scheme and all those things, and it's like you took a page right out of the .com era. I mean, the .com era, there was nothing new about that except the tools. Instead of tulips, it was something called a .com
Yeah, exactly. This madness comes and goes, and I think that one of my sadder favorite sayings is if it was easy to be rich, more people would be.
Yeah.
And the truth is, there's no substitute for the fundamentals and extraordinarily hard work and great attention to detail, and there just aren't that many shortcuts around those fundamental notions.
Well, that's exactly right, and there was a lot of damage done in those days in the 90s where you saw somebody who was 23 years old, they put together a six-page business plan, and within 30 days they had $59 million in funding, which they promptly went through in the first quarter. And never produced a product, and that kind of nonsense. And Kirk, I think that we're actually getting a little bit of a dividend as a reaction right now to all that, because since that time, since the stock market crash of 2000 and all the other things that have happened, businesses have come back to reality, and I think we've all gotten a lot more efficient and a lot more pragmatic about and realistic about the marketplace, don't you think?
I think that's absolutely true. I also believe that that many of us are paying the price for the excesses of a very few, because when you look at federal laws like the Sarbanes-Oxley Act,
which we talked about already this week.
And, well, as I'm sure everybody in your audience knows, it has added literally billions of dollars to the cost of doing business, especially as a public company in the United States. And that hurts all of us who have a single share of stock in the public market.
One of the things that has changed to quite a degree over the last few years is the way we reach our customers. And Kirk and I are going to talk about that when we come back after these messages. Kirk Chaffetz is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, 2020. Stay with us.
She's got it. We'll see. No, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Kirk Chaffetz is our guest. And anytime I need to count on somebody to stand by me, I know I can count on Kirk. Right, Kirk?
Absolutely.
And he's the author of Thinking Inside the Box. And Kirk, give us your website. Is it ready?
You always embarrass me with this. A new one that everybody can try is at the moment thepubagency.com.
Thepubagency.com.
That's my little business.
All right. Check that out, folks, when you get a chance, if you want to find out more about Kirk. And the book is available wherever books are sold, right?
Absolutely.
Thinking Inside the Box.
Online at Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
You know, we're talking about how the marketplace has changed over the last few years, Kirk, and I can't imagine anything. I mean, I'm trying to imagine a new millennia coming becoming a reality with as many things changing. It's almost like people flipped a switch in so many ways in 2000. And one of the ways that has changed quite a bit and is evolving pretty rapidly, and that is the way we reach our customers, isn't it, and our prospects.
Absolutely. And I think it's changing in ways that are tending to level the playing field between big business and small business, that the ways of communicating, the newer ways of communicating with customers are actually less expensive, less elaborate, and more achievable by a small business than the old ways were. And the biggest example of that is that the whole notion of network television being the only way to reach large audiences is, everyone in the advertising business now acknowledges, rapidly going away. And that's been the biggest change in what is, you know, what we call the media landscape.
Do the network television people get that yet?
They do. And they're extraordinarily concerned about it, and the industry is abuzz with it. And the thing, of course, that frightens them the most is what is generically referred to now as TiVo, you know, the same mm-hmm. way that things to wipe your nose with are called Kleenex, no matter who makes them. TiVo, of course, the ability to record programs digitally, zap through the commercials, watch them when you want to rather than when they're shown, that's spread across the entire industry now.
One device.
Absolutely.
One device. You know what's been interesting to me, Kirk, and certainly radio has its own challenges, but what's been so interesting to me is over my life and your life and going back into history, radio had one challenger after another. And as I said, even with all the challenges that radio still has, it seems to continue to perk right along. I mean, there's some changes. There's some angles that radio has to address right now. But it really, a lot of people said television was going to be the end of radio. Well, if anything, in the last 10 years, 20, 15 years, radio's gotten stronger, hasn't it?
Absolutely, it has. And I think there are certain traditional forms of gathering information and being entertained that simply are more immune to technological manipulation than other forms. Radio seems to be largely immune to changes because there aren't a lot of options. You can't sit there with a controller in your car, zapping through the commercials. You'll drive yourself crazy and you'll crash. That's one big problem. I think the places where we listen to radio have changed over the years. Radio has become more of an in-motion medium than, we don't gather around the radio in the living room and listen to drama the way we did when you and I were kids. But radio has been really, enormously adaptive in that sense. Television is a lot less adaptive. Television has been very much both, the victim and the beneficiary of emerging technologies.
Well, the one thing from a small business advertising standpoint with regard to radio, when you and I were kids, when you and I were coming up in the marketplace, basically you worked with a radio station and they, basically the station had one thing. It was music, probably. And you just bought advertising on their station. But now there's so many different choices in radio, and you need to say, okay, what are my audience? Is my audience more likely to listen to music, or is it more likely to listen to talk? Is it more likely to listen to country or rock and roll, or is it more likely to listen to liberal talk or conservative talk or animal talk, pet talk or whatever, where are they most likely to be? And today, you have the ability to segment your marketing approach, don't you?
Absolutely. And I think that the notion of targeting your advertising is now a well-established notion. It's been around since the 60s. That you really need to, and you have the ability in today's media world, to target your audience very, very finely. But I think the tactics that are coming up now, the difference the point we're at this moment in the marketplace is that there is now wanted media and unwanted. And the idea of intruding into people's lives with advertising is going away. They can control what they hear and say.
I want you to explain that for us when we come back. And we're also going to talk about some of the new stuff that's challenging all old media. And we're going to do that right after these messages. It's Tin Till. Here are the Stones to take us out. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and Kirk Chaffetz is our guest. He's the author of Thinking Inside the Box. And Kirk, you got a new company, don't you?
One more time, Jim?
You got a new company, don't you?
I do, or I guess you could say I've got an old company.
Yeah?
We managed to buy our company back from the large company that we had all been working for. So we bought a portion of a division that I think qualifies as a small business.
And tell us what that business is.
That business is creating, it's really telling the stories of brands and businesses. We create magazines, newsletters, web content, mobile messaging, email, you name it, we do it to tell stories, present information, and create entertainment on behalf of brands.
Mm-hmm.
So one of our biggest clients and one we're most proud of, although we're proud of every one of our clients, is Lexus Automobiles.
Right.
We do the Global Customer Magazine for Lexus, which is a wonderful magazine.
They sent me one of those.
Luxury.
They sent me one of those.
The magazine or the car?
Yeah, I have no idea why they thought I could afford one. They sent me a magazine. Yeah, they sent me a magazine in the hopes that I would buy one. But I guess I must have gotten accidentally put on their list or something. But anyway, that's interesting.
I'll have to try and talk you into buying one.
Kirk, we were talking about some of the. You were making a final comment as we went to the break. And I wanted to give you a chance to pick up on that if you wanted to.
Sure, it is. And here's the deal really quickly. in the old days, the whole notion of advertising was intrusion, right? There was a program, the advertising broke into the middle of it and essentially used your attention to the program to force you to watch something that maybe you didn't really want to watch.
We didn't realize in those days that a program was a platform to deliver advertising.
We did not.
But that's what it is. That's what it is.
Exactly. But it's changing. And it's changing because both technology and the law, the whole tenor of society, are changing to give consumers more and more and more control over the media they consume. So I don't have to watch your television ad anymore. And in fact,
because you can have TiVo.
Exactly. And 95% of the people who have TiVo, which is still a minority of television
watchers. It's not a lot of people. Not a lot of people have TiVo.
No. I think the penetration is something like 12% of viewers now in the whole, you know, sort of TiVo and TiVo-like category.
Right.
But 95% of those people aren't watching the ads. Now, that augurs a huge change. And what it means is, as email blockers come up and the do not call list gets implemented and TiVo takes over, advertising now, the only
You forgot the remote control. I was using my little thumb TiVo years before there was TiVo.
Exactly, and the only problem with that one was it took a little work. TiVo.
But I needed, and my thumb needed the exercise though.
Well, I'm glad it kept your thumbs in good shape.
Oh yeah, I've got strong thumbs. I've got great thumbs. My thumbs will live forever. Go ahead.
But what's happening is now the only commercial, and this is one of the phrases I use in my business. Pretty soon, the day of reckoning for advertising will be here, and on that day of reckoning, which may already have arrived, the only commercial messages that I will have to hear are the ones that I choose to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And I just won't listen to your ad.
Well, what will that mean for advertising then?
What it means for advertising is that advertising has to become so truly useful and or truly entertaining, hopefully both, that people actually choose to watch it. And that means it's got to be important to me.
And also, for example, tell a story.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Tell a story. If you run a business, any kind of business, you're selling a service or a product. That right. service or product has a use or a series of uses.
Mm-hmm.
You know something that other people don't know. In addition to whatever service or product you have knowledge.
Right.
You'd better have knowledge.
Right. Or 10 seconds.
You'll be out of business. So the idea is use that knowledge to help people. Because if you can tell a story using your knowledge that's truly engaging, that's going to market your product better than an intrusive ad.
Thank you, Kirk, for being here. Good job today, as always. We'll see you next time. Kirk Chafis, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be, too, right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.